a boost this evening. And I hope you're already boosted. Amen. From the prayer, from the praise and worship, I hope you're already boosting. Or is it booting, we should call it. Hallelujah. Very quickly, again, traditionally, do we have any testimonies before we get into God's word tonight? One of the reasons why that is done is not to fill up time, but it's also to ensure that you don't forget the good things that the Lord has done. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture says what? Don't forget his benefits. You know, there are testimonies sometimes I remember, and I'm shocked that I had forgotten them for so long. I'm shocked that those things happened before and I'd forgotten them. You know, but when you talk about something, you tend not to forget. Amen. So did I see hands up? Yes, two hands. Okay, very quickly. Where is the mic? You have one. Please come to the front. Amen. Open your Bibles quickly to Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Ephesians chapter 6. And again, I'm going to try to finish up tonight what we began about three Thursdays ago. How many people have been here? All of the teachings on different kinds of prayer. How many people have been in everyone? So how many are looking forward to it finishing? You know, so we can end. Hallelujah. I'll move on to something else. Somebody said, I think I did something on prayer once, and he said, oh, you finished. I wish it never finished. You know, I wish it just continued on prayer. I feel that way very often, you know, when people talk about those fundamentals, like prayer. I always want to hear it because I always want to be stirred up to pray. I always want to know more about prayer and effective prayer. When you talk about the study of the word the same way or studying, I always want to hear it because you never get beyond the fundamentals. Can I have an amen? And those are fundamentals of Christianity or fundamentals of a close walk with God, prayer and the word. Somebody once said that when you see a team, you know, that's a football team, a basketball team, a hockey team, whatever game it is. When you see a team that is winning championships, what you have seen is a team that has become master of the fundamentals. Amen? So what they have done is that they know the fundamentals. They are very good at the fundamentals. They get it right. Nobody gets good but doesn't understand the fundamentals. You know, it's like trying to become a maths genius or engineering genius without knowing your arithmetic, your multiplication tables, you know, without knowing your 1 + 1 = 2, you know. So somebody says, I'm going to become an algebra genius, but he doesn't know 1 + 1. He doesn't care about 1 + 1. He says, algebra. I'm interested in algebra. I'm sorry for you. You'll probably end up in an asylum, a mental asylum, because there's no algebra you are going to know if you don't know this one very well. Amen. Because the algebra is built on the knowledge of 1 + 1. Hallelujah. So also it is that many believers are trying to have this very deep walk with God, very deep revelation. They want to see vision. They want to, all kinds of things. But they don't know the fundamentals. Are you with me? I think I'm preaching very well this evening. Amen? They don't know the fundamentals. And that is why a lot of people get into trouble. I kid you not, there are a lot of Christians who have a lot of challenges because they do not understand the fundamentals. And it's very difficult when people have become staylights. You know, it's very difficult to get them to see that something is wrong. The foundation that you are building on is not solid. Therefore, that building is not going to stay. I've seen people who had problems, and they're talking to me about their problems, and in all honesty, I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, you know, the problem is more of you than the devil. And the problem that you have is that you do not understand the basics of Christianity. But again, sometimes they say the side road tends to be a blessing. Amen. So sometimes you just go with the side road. The reason, you know, very often when you look at it, when you try to understand the basics of Christianity, take it from scriptures like 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, that says, if anybody be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's very confusing. And then now he says in verse 18, what? Now all things are of God. Now, what is all that trying to say to me? It's saying that when I get saved, I'm a completely different person. I didn't die, or they didn't bury me in a cemetery. But yet, the Bible says that I'm a completely new person. Now, there is a chance, how many people know that? That there's a chance that I will continue to function the way I used to function. Even though I'm a new person entirely. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Now, when it says it's a new creature, that word, actually, you can interpret that word that it says new creature as a new species. In fact, one translation says, is a new species, the type of which has never existed before. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that it means that this matter of new creature is serious matter. It means that when it comes to this new creature thing, I have to forget what I think or I thought I knew and begin a learning process. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that is irrespective of the fact that I grew up in church. Irrespective of the fact that I was born inside a church. You know, you can be born inside church, whether church has maternity or not. Irrespective of the fact that I was born inside a church, now the day, whether it is at 12, whether it's at 13, whether it's 21 or 25 or 35, that I gave my life to Christ, I have become a new species, the type of which has never existed before. Okay, and then in order to show us how serious the matter is, he says, all things, behold means take a very good look. All things have become new. I tell you what, one of the things I was thinking about recently, and then, wow, I don't think at this rate we'll finish today. But is it okay? Are you getting something? Okay, so one of the things I was thinking about is the fact that the way... If 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, 18 is correct, how many people believe that my sins went away when I gave my life to Christ? You believe that? They were washed away, forgotten completely. So I'm a completely new person, right? I am righteous, okay? Now, I began to think to myself that it also means that in that same vein, my sickness went away. Are you following me? My sickness went away. I was born asthmatic. Are you still there? So what it means is this. It means that if I really understand and I grasp what the scripture is saying, when it says, behold, all things have become new, it means from that moment that I said Jesus come into my life, from that moment, asthma disappears. From that moment, cigarette addiction goes. Cocaine addiction goes. If I really understood it, it means that from that moment, my freedom is instant. The same way that I believe that my sin has gone, I should automatically believe and receive my health. Are you following what I'm saying? I was listening to Dr. T.L. Osborne. And he then spoke, he said something along those lines. He said he was with F.F. Bosworth. Those are names you hear around in faith circles. He said he was with F.F. Bosworth. And F.F. Bosworth was saying something like that. Now, this was my thought process, was even before I watched the video. And he said F.F. Bosworth was saying, because he was talking about how he stepped into the miracle ministry. He said F.F. Bosworth said that if you call 10 people or 100 people outside, you gave an altar call and they all came out. And you explain salvation to them. And they said they believe it. And they said they receive it. And you lead them in prayer. And they pray the prayer. He said, how many of them will be saved? All of them. He said, if that is the case, if you call out 100 people with sickness and you explain to them that Jesus bore your sickness and your disease, and they said they believe it, and you pray for them, he said, how many of them will be healed?
all of them.
Are you with me?
He said, so he thought to himself, that is true. He said, so I'm going to test it out. He said, so he got to a meeting. He called, I think, 53 deaf people. He explained, he told them what the Bible says. He said, and he prayed for them. All the ears open, I think except two, if I remember correctly. He said, and then, but he told them, you're all healed. He said, in the next 1 week, no, the next 3 days or so, the remaining two completely could hear also. They didn't hear in the service, those two didn't hear in the service, but he told them, you are healed. Because if it works the same way for salvation of your soul, it works that same way for your healing. He said, so as far as I'm concerned, you are healed. Don't you ever doubt it for a moment. We have prayed, you are healed. He said, and truly they were healed. It took them 2 or 3 days to get back and say, now I can hear. He said, but they could hear. Are you still with me? I'm talking about the seriousness of fundamentals. Okay? In a bit, we're talking about different kinds of prayer. Are you with me? And I'm saying that prayer is part of what? Fundamentals of your Christian walk with God. So when you go to a scripture, I think that's Colossians 1:13, that says he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's serious matter. It means again that just like it will happen to you, if you traveled from here today and you won a green card, how many people know what a green card is? You know, green card is your American resident permit. So if you won a green card, okay, they called you from the U.S. Embassy and they said, ah, you have won a green card. Pick it up. You are now an American resident. You can live in America. And you decide, oh, well, this Nigeria, I don't do, you know. And you move to America. How many people know that you have to start learning afresh what life is like in America? Are you getting what I'm saying? You won't be like the guy who went and was driving the car and he got to an intersection and he saw a red light and he drove past. And then the next thing, wow, 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 the police followed him and they flagged him down. And when they stopped him, they said, do you know what you did? He said, yes. They said, you just passed a red light. He said, yes. They said, what do you mean by yes? You are not supposed to drive past a red light. I said, no. He said, really? He said, no. He said, I'm from Nigeria. In Nigeria, red means go. Green means stop. You know that it won't save you. Are you there? Because even if it was true that in Nigeria, red means go, you are not in Nigeria anymore. I don't even know what I'm talking about. So you will have to learn. So the same way that now that we are born again, we have to learn. And it's one of the complexities that people have is that we have carryovers. We continue to function the way we knew to function. We assume many things. We assume, I remember I used to hear somebody pray like this, so I pray like that, you know. We just take up things that we have heard. Instead of learning from the scriptures properly, afresh, what are those fundamentals? What am I supposed to know? How do things work? Can I have an amen? So Ephesians chapter 6. And from verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, to stand against the wiles. That word wiles means tricks. To stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Big statement, verse 16. Are you there? Very big statement. What will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one? Anybody? What will quench it? He said, your shield of what? Faith. It means your faith in God is enough to withstand anything. I know we're in the societies where people believe in all kinds of attacks. You don't need to go learn about the attack. You don't even need to know who is attacking. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't need to know where your name has been taken to. You don't need to know which picture they took. Can I have an amen? Amen. All you need is what? Your shield of faith. For instance, you know, okay, it's okay. We'll just flow. Is that okay? For instance, when we're praying, we were reading Psalm 34. Has one of my favorite scriptures on protection. Verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and will deliver them. Even as we prayed it tonight, I said I need to spend a lot more time on this verse. I just need to. And you need to too. Can I have an amen? How many people have been bothered about the insecurity in the country? You need to spend time. Hallelujah. And because it says the angel encamps. Encamps means the angel is there. You know, one morning I was just praying on that scripture. Maybe about 2 weeks ago, I was just on that scripture. And I was just praying on that scripture. I read it and I was just saying to myself, thank God I have a bodyguard. thank God I have a bodyguard. I have an angelic bodyguard. It says the angel encamps. Is there? A bodyguard, are you still there? That wherever I go, the angel of the Lord encamps and he has singular duty to deliver me. Make sure nothing untoward happens to me. Hallelujah. So the shield of faith, your faith in what God has said, is what will help you. Can I have an amen? Okay, verse 17, Ephesians 6, 17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. 18, praying, this is our emphasis, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always with all prayer. With how many? All prayer. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so I have some translations. One translation says, praying in the Spirit at all times. Pray with all kinds of prayer. One says, pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. Another one says, pray at all times. That's the Amplified. Pray at all times, on every occasion and in every season, in the Spirit with all manner of prayer and entreaty. So that's what we're talking about, different kinds of prayer. One of the things that happens to you, like I said last week, is that as you mature, you start discovering that there are different kinds of prayer. We all probably started off from praying basic prayers, you know, maybe a bit of thanksgiving, but a lot more of petition. You know, of asking God. We pray when we need something. We pray when we want something from God. But that's about what we knew when we just began to walk with God. However, as your walk with God grows, you start discovering that there are different kinds of prayer. And there are different essentials you need to know about those kinds of prayer that will help your prayer life to be rich, but not only rich, to also be very effective. Hallelujah. That when you pray, you get results, you get answers. John chapter 16 said, I think verse 23, up to now you have asked me nothing. He said, ask that you may receive so that your joy may be full. You know what that says to me? It says that prayer is not just meant to be done for praying sake. You know, so when people pray and they go, well, have you prayed about the matter? Yes, we have prayed about it. I said, but what are we going to do now? It's almost like the prayer is a case of we have ticked the box. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've prayed about it, but how are we going to solve this problem? What was prayer about? Huh? What was the prayer for? So when you pray and you are still carrying the burden on your head, the point is, why pray? Why pray? But no. You know, I'm remembering why I worried the Baba. You know, I say, if you worry, you go die. If you no worry, you go die. Why worry? No. I mean, so if you pray and you are still going to worry, why bother? Remember that song? I think that's Demos, is it? Don't pray and worry. Don't pray and worry. I like that song so much. Don't pray and worry. Don't pray and worry. Because why would you pray and if you are going to worry, just worry. I mean, become world champion warrior. And worry yourself till you don't sleep. And then you know, worry yourself to satisfaction. If you know what I mean. Worry yourself to satisfaction. I know that I have worried. If somebody worried, then I worried over that matter. Then we will clap for you for worrying. We say, don't come and just give us the religious cliche of, I prayed about it, but, hey, what are we going to do? Hey, this matter will kill us. Oh, boy. Are you still there? So we have to learn the different kinds. We have to learn so that we can be effective in the place of prayer. And we've said two types of prayer to start with. We talked about the prayer of petition. We spoke from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. So those are scriptures. If you missed it, you can, of course, get the message online. It's available. It's free download. You can also, and you're also encouraged to recommend to people, you know, to go there and download them. But prayer of petition was the first one we spoke about. And that's a common prayer. We are asking God for something. We want to get something. We want something. I mean, Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. So if that's the case, how do I make that work for me? Matthew 7:7, it says, look, ask and you shall receive, seek you shall find, knock the door shall be opened unto you. And then it says what? For everyone that asketh, receive it. There are some verses you can't just quote except in King James. You know, they must. That's one of them. Actually, I'm also wondering that I learned so much of scripture, in King James, that now that I'm reading the non-King James, it's giving me while to remember some of them. You know, and some of them you can't, don't even bother. It doesn't sound like God. You know, except you say the King James. So it says, for everyone that asketh, receive it. And I've said that many times before, but that is a challenge. Because if you say everyone that asketh, receive it, it means that prayers ought to be answered. Can I have an amen? It means that every prayer, actually, so let me magnify it further. Every prayer or petition you pray ought to get an answer. And an answer in what? Affirmative. What does that mean? It means that you need to get, you should be getting what you prayed to God for. Are you with me, anybody? Because people have told us, they said, yes, God answers prayer. God says yes. God says no. And God says what? Wait a while. You've heard that before? Anybody? Am I the only one? He says, God says yes. God says no. And God says, wait a while. No, the prayer of petition, one of the solid things, or the core of it, is that you must know what the will of God is. I'm not going to go all through everything. You must know what the will of God is. And so you are praying what the will of God is. And when you are asking God according to his will, that's what 1 John 5:14-15 helps us to understand. When I'm able to find where it is written and what God has said, and I'm able to ask God on the basis of what he has said, I'm standing on his word, then the answer is always what? Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe verse 20. It says, for all of the promises of God in Christ are what? Yes. And amen. You know what the word amen means, don't you? The word amen means what? So be it. All of the promises. He didn't say most of the promises. He didn't say all of the promises sometimes. Or sometimes all of the promises of God. He said all of the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. Now somebody, you know, this. When you say some of these things, it's not to feel bad about. You shouldn't feel bad about them. You should only get stirred up. Are you getting what I'm saying? They should only be stirring you up to say, if that is the case, what am I missing? Are you getting what I'm saying? What am I missing? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to improve in my prayer? Because my prayer is meant to be answered. So what have I been getting wrong? I need to just straighten out certain things. And once I do, that's good news to me.
That once I can learn certain things, once I can find certain things, once I can tweak certain things, I can always expect an answer to my prayer every single time. Hallelujah. Then we talked about what the prayer of worship. So it's not every time we go pray and we start asking God for something. Give me, 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 give me. You know, we're in a relationship with God. Are you there? We're in a relationship with God. How many people like the people who keep asking you for something? You know? The people who is give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Your friend who is Mr. Give Me. I mean, your friend though. I mean, your friend. Huh? Huh? Always in need. He's a friend indeed. Are you still there? Huh? You know, don't raise your hand, but how many people have friends that when your phone rings, you first think? You know, you first think, do I? Should I? Should I not? You know, you are not busy, but the first thought is, ah. What is it this time? You know what I'm talking about. And why am I saying that? Relationship is not sweet that way. You understand what I'm saying? But how many people have friends that when you are with them and you talk, whether on the phone or you are spending time with them, you just talk and you just enjoy that company. You like the way they speak. I mean, Proverbs 22, so I read that today. Proverbs 22, I think verse 15, if I'm right, but somewhere in there. It says, he that has purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. He that has purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. So what does that mean? It means people like somebody who just knows how to relate. Are you there? So we spoke about the prayer of worship, meaning that sometimes you are not there for anything. You are just fellowshipping with God. The Bible will say in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it says Jesus went to pray and he stayed there all night in prayer. How many people think that he was asking God for a shoe, asking God for bread, asking God for money, asking God for... Are you still there? Mark 1:35, he said he arose a great while before day and he went to pray. You think that he was just asking God for something or the other? No, no, no. There is fellowship. Acts 13 and verse 2, the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, they did what? Minister to the Lord. That's amazing. Minister to the Lord. God can be ministered to. Amen. And God actually wants to be ministered to. And that's what we see in John chapter 4, when he says that the hour is, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship God in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such. So God actually has a need. He wants to be ministered to. So there's a prayer of worship where I mean, there are days I don't even come up with any petition, no nothing. I'm just there, fellowshipping with God, I'm ministering to God, and just telling him how much I love him, and how much more of him I want. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. But you know the interesting thing is that when you do that, many of the things that you are worried about get taken care of. So in 2 Chronicles 20, we spoke about that. As they put the singers in front and they went, the Bible says that the enemy began to fight themselves. So they never fought. They only praised God and things took care of themselves. Are you still there? There are many things. In fact, you know, sometimes when you look at life, life is so complex that if I had to pray about every single issue before it happens, or before something works in my favor, then there will be too many things that will not work in my favor. How many people know what I'm talking about? Because there are many things happening that you don't even have a clue that they are going on. As we are sitting here, there may be two people discussing you somewhere, whether for good or for bad, but you have no clue. Are you getting what I'm saying? But as you minister to God, God sorts out whatever needs to be sorted out. That's why Proverbs 16:7 says what? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at even means that, of course, he grants him favor and sorts him out. So when he says even his enemies, it means that his ability extends even to the enemies to sort them out as long as the man is pleasing God. Are you there? I said, are you there? So very often, that prayer of worship, even matters are being sorted out without you knowing what to even pray about. Hallelujah. So number three, let's talk about congregational worship prayer. Congregational prayer. So that's prayer, or let's call it group prayer. Group prayer. So when we come together to pray, Acts chapter 4, as a group. When people gather together to pray, Acts chapter 4. Like I was saying also the other time, many people, when you ask them about church, they are not in a hurry. About church service. They in their minds, they have calculated and thought to themselves that I will only miss the prayer. You know, the opening prayer, you know, that prayer that we pray at the beginning. Yeah, I'm not late. In their mind, they are not late. They have not missed anything. It's just the prayer that they are missing. Are you there? In fact, you know, I'm just seeing Colin, I was remembering, and Colin knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, I've said that story before. When I say that things happen that you don't even know. When we're at Old Ife Road, we had a fellowship, and those people ganged up and decided that they were going to come against us. Almost everybody in the environment was Muslim. They didn't want a church. They didn't want a fellowship there. And while all the scheming was going on, I had no clue. The only clue I had, the only thing I knew was that somebody would always be talking whenever I arrived there. You know, we used a school. Whenever I arrived there, somebody was always talking. You know, they make this big cry, you know. God has no child, and nobody gave birth to God. You know, that's all I can remember. That okay, it looks like it's very coincidental that almost every time I'm arriving, this thing is being said. You know, but every other thing that was then happening afterwards, no clue. I had no clue that something was going on, but they had been scheming, very seriously, very serious scheming. So in so much that they went, the person who owned the school rented the place to use as a school. So they went, put pressure on the owner of the building to say it's a school that you put there, but now it's church, you know, and we don't want church here, blah, blah, blah. Take your building back. No clue that all that was going on. All of a sudden, you know, I had this stirring in my spirit, and I said, God is trying to get my attention about something. So I said, I think I need a break. I think there's too much noise around me. You know, you are too noisy on the inside sometimes. I said, I just need time off. You know, I'm going to take a little leave and just rest and spend some time with God. And the moment I started that leave, I knew what God was saying. And God said, leave that place. You know, so I came back and I said, you know what, this is what God is saying, you know, to leave. And in fact, Brother Malulu, which you know, I told him, he said, I'm just going to do that. I said, who am I? I obey God. That's my job. I said, so? He said, so we just stop and we go. I said, yeah, that's what God said. You know, and I did announce the fellowship. Sorry, we're going to leave and all that. You were there. You know, I said, we're going to leave. And somebody there, Pastor Funke was there. And she said, the day you said that God was trying to get your attention on something, she said, I knew that was what God was saying. You know. And that week, because I just told him, I said, it's immediate. That week that we left, they fought and injured themselves with knife, bottle, everything. Because after they harassed the owner, and the owner now apparently, in fact, the owner didn't even tell us, anything about what was going on. But apparently, as the owner was getting set to move, as the school owner, rather, was getting set to move, the owner of the building now decided he was going to use it as a bakery. The only problem was, one of the main instigators was the building next door to us, which was a bakery. The man also had a bakery. So he now refused that you cannot do bakery. So the workers and things fought and injured themselves badly. So I laughed. I said, even they didn't know that God had given me instruction. And very interesting, amazing. Listen, one of the reasons why we pray is because we don't know Jack. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We don't know anything. God knows everything. Okay? So when it also looks silly and foolish that, oh, wow, so why, how do we just leave? Kola is there now. Abi, he can tell you what I'm saying. He can tell you everything. He knows it better than I know it because this was now all reported to me. By the time we left, virtually everybody, we're just a handful of people, but virtually all of them were people that had been given direction. Virtually all of them. They went on to become pastors and things. So it was like, yeah, virtually all of them were in ministry. Or in ministry today. Am I right? Virtually all of them. So it was like, and these were people who had, I mean, like Matthew 9, when he says they were scattered without, like sheep without a shepherd. So we were there for, I don't know how long it was, 1 year or something. So it was like coming and giving them the direction. And all of them went on, those entering university or higher institutions went in, became Bible study secretary, became pastor, and then many are still in ministry today. So God knows me, I didn't know. I didn't even know any of those things, except that he and Pastor Funke were telling me, oh, you know this person, some of them I had even forgotten. Are you there? Look at somebody, say, that's why we pray. So congregational prayer, we're talking about that. So people will want to avoid it, but don't ever avoid it. Don't ever think that nothing happens because a great deal happens. Amen. A great deal is happening when we come together to pray on issues as a group. So Acts chapter 4, verse 23, in Acts chapter 4, the lame man by the gate called Beautiful had been healed, and then apostles were arrested and they were punished and they were warned not to preach again in the name of Jesus, and they were beaten. Many people know that if you are beaten, you are likely to be a bit discouraged. How many people know that? That there's a chance you'll be discouraged, especially if you are beaten as an adult. You know what I'm talking about? This is not beating that you fought somebody and the person beat you up. This is beating that the kind of beating they beat people on assembly. You know, so when they take you, if they take you as an adult, like one of my teachers used to say, we say, digamos koyodi bombos, you know, and that means diagamu koyodi bombo. That means old the chair. I don't know whether we raised prison warders as teachers. I don't, you know, digamos, and the guy, why? And he had two. He will have a short cane and a long one. So that when he hits you, wah, and he pains you, you run. You know, you run across the room. Then he will use the long one to bring you back. Fire. Then you run back again. So I don't know what kind of schools we actually had. But when you are beaten that way, you are likely to be discouraged. So that's the background to what happened here in Acts chapter 4. Are you with me? Okay, so in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they did what? They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them. So basically, they prayed and prayed and prayed together. Look at it from verse 9 again. This is it. They're still praying. It says, now look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with all boldness. Something happens when we come together. I took my time to give you a graphic picture of how discouraged they may have been. Are you with me? Have you ever felt so dejected? You are tired. you are demotivated about life and all of that, that's not the time to stay at home. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's not the time to stay at home. You are not even praying. You can't pray. You are so, you know, you are so down. When you are that down, the least thing you should be able to do is put one foot in front of the other one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When the church door opens, put one foot where? In front of the other one until you get to the church and be there to pray. Because as you pray, as we pray, something happens. As these guys were praying, they were encouraged. They were encouraged. The Bible says being let go, they went to their own company. Do you have your own company? Your own company of people where you get encouraged. How many people have ever come to church before and you were really down? And it's not because there was a word of knowledge or hands were laid on you, but you were just there. You were there as the prayer went on. You were there as it was. And then before you knew it, you were just... And it looked like whatever it was. Sometimes it even feels almost like a spirit. That the thing just left and just left you alone. How many people know what I'm talking about? You know, and that's what we need to do. You are finding it difficult to pray. You are feeling dry. Come to church and pray. Pray as a group. That's even the time that you even tell yourself, I'm going to get there early. Say on Sunday, they said at 8 o'clock, there's a prayer group. There's an intercessory group that prays. I'm even going to join that oneself. Because I'm not praying. I'm dry. And if you're not praying, listen, no help is coming from nowhere. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you're not praying, then help is not coming from anywhere. You are going down, 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 down. Are you hearing me out? You've gone quiet. James chapter 5 says, is any, I believe that's verse 14, if I'm right. He said, is any afflicted, let him pray. If you are going through a hard time, pray. That's what the Bible says. You need to pray to get out of that hard time. You need to pray. I don't know what to pray. Pray in other tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, he says, when you pray in the spirit, you edify yourself. Edify means you stir yourself up. But sometimes it's difficult to pray. Then come, make sure at that time, of course at all other times, are you hearing what I'm saying? But even much more at that time, make sure you are early, make sure you join the prayer groups, make sure you join people and pray together. All of the prayer you've not been praying, as you join and you begin to pray, you get stirred up. The Bible says they were filled with boldness. By the time they were done, these same people who had just been whacked as adults. And we're about, now wow, you know. Then they just thought, let's go back to our own company. So they went back to church. Are you still there? And as they spoke, they reported everything and they all lifted their voice and began to pray. By the time they were done, they were not nawaying anymore. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They were filled with boldness. You know what they were thinking of? Let's go back. Let's go again and preach. The same people were it's so noisy. They're already like, let's go back and preach. What happened in between? Pray. They prayed as a congregation. Are you with me? Acts chapter 16. And then I'll try to stop it. So I'm only able to do one today. But how many people got something tonight? You know, so, and we'll carry on. We'll carry on. God willing. Acts chapter 12, actually. Acts chapter 12. Verse 1. I have to read a bit of context. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to arrest some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers. So guard him very well. There's no running away. Intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Verse 5 is our emphasis. It says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant, can I hear it say constant prayer? It says, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church.
Hallelujah. And ultimately, the Bible says that God, you know, sent an angel. Or maybe I need to just read it, you know. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound, that's verse 8, bound, or verse 6, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." So he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. How many people know what somnambulism is? Don't mind me. I'm just trying to show I went to school. It means sleepwalking. You know, so Peter didn't think this was real. He thought he was in a dream, or he was sleepwalking, no sleepwalking. Somebody who's asleep, some people can be sleeping. They get up in the night, they will go to the fridge, he will open a bottle of Coke, he will drink it, and he'll go to, back to bed. It's just there. And if you tell him in the morning, you went to drink the Coke, he said, "Me, I did not. God knows I did not touch any Coke." And he's not lying. He does not know. He was sleeping all through getting up, even maybe from upstairs and going downstairs. He didn't wake up till he opened the Coke and swallowed everything. He didn't wake up till he went back to bed. He didn't wake up. So that's somnambulism. So you see why the name is very... So Peter thought, "I'm having somnambulism." You know, so he did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Verse 11, and when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So he went to where, you know, I'm skipping now. He went to church. Remember, the Bible says that constant prayer was being offered by the church for him. So he went to church. Okay? And when he got there, he knocked. Verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so excited because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." But of course, we know it was Peter at the end of the day. Now, what's my emphasis? So I can try to round up. What's my emphasis? James had been killed. Okay? Verse 5, the Bible made it a point to tell us that because James was killed, Peter was also arrested to be killed. Are you with me? Peter was also arrested to be killed. You have to reduce that volume, please. Was also arrested to be killed. But the Bible made it clear to us. He said, but constant prayer was offered by the church for him. There's a reason why that statement was made. First, it suggests to me that the church wasn't praying like that when James was taken. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Second, it suggests to me that as Peter was taken, there's an evil force at work that says, "I will kill all of these people." But prayer is like a force in itself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the congregational prayer was a powerful force that was withstanding the intentions of Herod. That Herod himself didn't know what was moving, but something was working. Are you getting what I'm saying? But that congregational prayer, the church was offering constant prayer. Now, the third side of this is that I always believe that Peter was in faith. Okay? Because the night before you are going to be killed, you don't sleep. You don't sleep. Your whole life will pass before you. You remember when you were a baby? You remember when you were a child? You remember even the person you offended yesterday that you didn't settle with? You wish that you had not fought him. That everybody will remember you well for good. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody told me one recently, said that he was traveling
And that morning she had a clash with her husband. So then they got on the plane, and apparently one of the air hostesses got sick. So they turned back, you know, Lagos to Abuja, and they turned back and went to drop the person in Lagos. So, but the pilot announced and said, "I regret, you know, just announced, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, I have an announcement for you," or something like that. She said at that moment, she just stopped. They are giving them food and all that. She just stopped. And she thought, "Oh my God, this is the end. This is the end." So then she thought, "Hi, why did I fight my husband? Or, hey, yeah, you know, all of those things." You get what I'm saying? Until the guy finally said, "No, we are going to drop somebody." We see the, "Okay, you should have said that since now." You know, so you can imagine, the night before he was to be killed, you don't sleep except you just have faith. But this time around, it seems to me that it was not even Peter's faith. It's a very, or let's put it this way, it was not Peter's faith alone. That's why the Bible made it a point of duty to tell us that constant prayer was offered by the church for him. That congregational prayer means a lot. When we gather and we are praying and we are praying and we are raising issues, listen, be it 1 minute, be it 2 minutes, be it 5 minutes, it is very important. It does a lot of things. You know what James chapter 5 and verse 16 says? It says, "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The Amplified says, "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working." So my thought is this. If the effective fervent is at faith, your heart is in it. If effective fervent prayer of one righteous man makes tremendous power available, what happens when there are many of them? What kind of power do they make available? That's why you don't take congregational prayer for granted. Are you there? Again, now remember Acts chapter 4. That we read. The Bible says when they prayed, what happened? The place where they were was shaken. We have seen people shaken by the power of God. We have seen people slain by the power of God. What happens when the building is shaken? The Bible says when they prayed as a group, the building, not the people, the building was the one shaken. That's the power of congregational prayer. Some people talk about a corporate anointing. There's something that happens when we all, you bring your anointing, I bring my own, and we all put it up in prayer and release prayer to God. There is tremendous power that we release. Are you there? I said, are you there? So it's important that we pray together. Several times in the Bible, even 2 Chronicles 20 that I referred to, they were under attack. The king was fasting and praying. Then he called the whole country. Everybody, let's gather and pray. And when they all gathered to pray was when a prophet spoke up. The word of the Lord came and said, "You will not need to fight in this battle." When they gathered to pray. Hallelujah. Don't take it for granted when we gather to pray. Hallelujah. A lot happens and will still happen when we pray as a group. Let's stand on our feet. So don't just drag your feet and say, "Well, it's only prayer we miss." Oh, that prayer is important. Really important. So thank God for the privilege of walking with him. Privilege of knowing him. Thank him for his word. Prayer is privileged conversation with God. Thank him for the privilege of prayer. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 12, the Bible. You know, it says, the 1 Peter 3:12 says, "The ears of the Lord are open to the prayers of the righteous." What a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege. Thank him that he hears your prayers. Give him praise for it. Thank him. Magnify him.
Let's begin to bless him. Let's begin to thank him. Emanto kadosto pashanda brana manta rika desa kadagadosto.